Favorite thing about Gustavus?
Senator Boyden.
The professors.
Senator Carlson Sather.
Probably the art.
Senator Conroy.
The people.
Senator Cook.
The people.
Senator Durbani.
The people.
Senator Hammond.
Personal interaction of professors.
Senator Jakes.
Probably all the activities you can be in.
Senator King.
The people.
Senator Leininger.
Friends and the activities.
Senator Olson.
The R.
Speaker Shugel.
The cross-country track.
Senator Sullivan.
The people.
Senator Thunheim.
Echoing the people, but the community.
Senator Ruiz.
The people.
Senator Johnson.
The cold wind.
Senator Minky.
The sense of community that I get here.
Senator Jorgensen.
Also the community.
Senator Smarillo.
Also the community, but the different opportunities that we get to pursue multiple interests.
Senator Williamson.
The education department.
Senator Kamal.
The people.
Public Relations Chair Allen.
I really like walking to class and being able to know 10 people and just say hi to them.
Controller Arshad.
The memories.
Parliamentarian Barnes.
The small classes.
Health and Housing Chair Bhatka.
The community.
Diversity Chair Abib.
The courtyard. And the community.
Finance Chair Petros.
Sports.
Ombudsperson Doran.
How genuinely interested everyone is in what they're doing.
Student and Academic Affairs Concepcion.
The community, but especially the chocolate banana bread and the cow.
Technology Chair O'Neill.
Senator, of course.
Co-President Lamberty.
Asan.
Co-president.
Michael O'Neill.
And with that, we have quorum. Administrative Director Rinky.
Well, I like intramurals.
The volleyball team. Advisor Van Hecke.
My boss, Becky Bergman.
And President Bergman.
Or Michael Neal.
Well, you know, you've all said community, but that's what drew me here. So I think I would have to echo your thoughts on this community. So yeah.
All right.
And the student life whole division, so including Jonathan.
Amazing. All right. So with that, we have a quorum. We move to the approval of the minutes. Is there any discrepancies of the minutes? Any discrepancies? All right, seeing none, we will move to community comment. Anybody from the community that wishes to comment? Any comments? All right, and with that, we will move to President Bergman.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I have been pretty diligent about attending one student senate meeting every year, semester. I think I've gone sometimes.
For sure yearly.
Yeah, for sure yearly. And so this is my opportunity to check in with you to see how things are going with Student Senate and to answer any questions that might be on your mind. My goal would be to make this a dialogue, and how long are we going to spend?
Depends upon you.
Well, I'm open-ended. This is my last stop of the day.
Okay.
So we'll stop when we start to peter out of questions.
Okay.
So just a couple things I want to talk about. The college is busy this time of year, and of course we have Christmas in Christ Chapel coming up next week. And anybody here in one of the performing groups? Thank you very much for your service to the college for what is probably one of our most beloved events for our alumni to come back and be part of Christmas in Christ Chapel. So that is coming up this weekend, and I get to attend all 5 services. And I'll probably pop in on the dress rehearsal Thursday night as well. So that's part of my week. I write a weekly message to the Gustavus employees, and this week I talked about a funny story that happened over the weekend at my house, and I'm going to share it just because it's funny. So amongst the other things, all the things I like and I do, I would call myself a nature enthusiast. We live in North Oaks when I'm not here on campus, which is on the northeast side of the cities and close to White Bear Lake, if that helps you anchor where it is. So I happened to be home for, at that house at least, for 4 days in a row, which was a joy, and I did quite a bit of walking. There's trails in North Oaks that are mostly in the woods and are just beautiful any time of year, even when it's kind of cold. But anyway, it seemed to be the bird weekend, so the trumpeter swans were flying, and the geese were flying, and the ducks were all flying, and honking and quacking and all that good stuff. And trumpeting, the trumpeter swan's trumpet. Anyway, there was a little bit of open water left on the lake right in front of our house, and there's a channel, and the reason the water is still open is because the channel's fairly fast-moving water. Okay, that's the backdrop to this story. Came out of my house at about 5 o'clock on Friday night, and there was literally a parade of ducks walking across our lawn, which is probably a football field long, up our driveway and down our lawn. Literally, I stopped counting at 100 mallards. And they were walking like a little parade across the yard. And ducks are so funny looking when they waddle, because they're really not supposed to be walking on land. They're supposed to either be swimming or flying. So it was probably one of the funnier moments I've seen in nature
with 100 ducks in a very long line. Who knows why they were doing it, quacking and waddling across my front lawn. So besides cooking and eating, that's what I did all weekend. Okay, back to Gustavus. You might have noticed we have a big project going on called Nobel Hall. And yeah, and now don't make you choke, sorry. progress, the crane is coming down or is down? Might be down. It's down. The crane is down, which means that all of the heavy lifting has been done. The last thing to go in was all the windows. And the building will be fully enclosed for interior work like essentially now. We will be moving everything in the current Nobel building into the new building and will be crunched together in the new part to teach science for all of next academic year, while the current building, trying really hard not to call it the old building, while the current building is remodeled top to bottom. And then in the before the fall of 2020, so a year and a half from now, a year and three quarters from now, the full thing will be open. And that includes a new cafe on that end of campus. It includes a nice big atrium area that will go between the science building and the theater building, and it also includes a new black box theater for our folks who are interested in theater, and hopefully a fairly nice multi-use space that is literally a black box. So that's that project. We are next beginning the architectural and fundraising work for a major renovation and addition to Lund Athletic Center, which is sorely needed on this campus. So we would optimistically hope to be finished with fundraising and within a year and a half or so. That's optimistic, which would mean that we would then start construction about the same time that Nobel is opening, which would be absolutely great to get those two very large projects finished here on campus. Outside of those two projects, the capital projects we'll do tend to be smaller. So just from an affordability standpoint. So we'll eventually get around to renovations in the music building, the library, the chapel, and the dorms. Now, don't ask me how fast, because you will definitely not be here. You are welcome to help fund them when you're rich alumni and can afford to help us with some construction projects someday when you all strike it big on whatever interesting things you're going to do when you graduate from Gustavus. And we appreciate every dollar, believe me. Okay, on the program side, I think you know that Jonas and her team have been hard at work to with some new programming in the Career Center. Hope you're all taking advantage of the career clusters and the opportunities that people are putting together for meet and greets with employers and internships and the kinds of things that will help you build resumes for whatever you're going to do post Gustavus. And I think I will stop there and ask all of you for questions. Anything you want to know. The worst you'll hear from me is that I can't tell you that. Or I don't know, which is not a bad answer. Because sometimes that's true also. You only get me for 20 minutes, so ask a question. Yes.
How is Gustavus working on diversifying and expanding its course offerings in each department?
Good question. So course offerings really begin with the department level, and faculty expertise will play into that. And so I think your best bet, if you have specific suggestions about course offerings within a particular department, would be to go talk with the department chair. That person would be responsible to provide a curriculum to the provost and that would align with their curriculum requirements for the major. So I presume you're talking about a major, sort of like the upper level courses, or are you talking about the intro course, the upper level courses? Yeah, sometimes that varies year to year because of people being on sabbatical, but sometimes it's hard for professors to change up because they get used to a particular course that they like. So I think student feedback is really important when talking about curriculum within the department. So don't hesitate. Your feedback does matter, but you also show your feedback through enrollment. And if a class is fully enrolled, then the feedback without other feedback, the professors would probably assume that that's a course that people want. Now, if it's at 8 a.m. and fully enrolled, you know it's really a course that people want. If it's at 10:30 and fully enrolled, you might have to ask, is it a question of the time or of the course? But good question.
Center line,
I was just clarifying with Nobel this spring, where are classes being held?
This spring, it's business as usual in the current building. Other than breaking through a couple places where they anchor the two buildings together, which might be a little bit of disruption in the spring, and at some point they'll move the fencing because starting in the summer, we'll be working hard to get the renovations underway. But this spring, it should be business as usual in the current building. Yep. Anybody a science major? Yeah, one, two, good.
Three, four.
Okay, sorry, missing your hand.
Yeah. Senator Williams.
So what are your plans to increase enrollment? Like I know what this year's freshman class was really big. What is the next class looking like and what are you doing to increase enrollment?
Yeah, good question. So I would say the current class is one of the biggest we've had for, I want to say, six or more years, and that's great. What did we do differently to recruit that class is something we've talked about quite a bit. We think, first of all, whenever there's a big construction project on campus, you get some good vibes about the campus. I think our reputation is pretty good right now, which also helps in terms of recruiting students. So success breeds success, which is part of the formula then for next year. Recruiting so far this year is going really well, pretty similar to last year, so we're hopeful for a great entering class. And that would be evidenced by Scholarship Day, which just happened a week ago Saturday, and we had almost 200 top academic students and music scholarship students, art scholarship, so fine arts scholarship students on campus, largest group ever that were here for Scholarship Day. So that is a good signal as well. We also have received some very nice gifts from donors to support scholarships. And so we have some good scholarship packages for incoming students, particularly those with high academic standing and students with high financial need. So we've had a very good fortune of new scholarship funds, which should help us as well. What I've learned in a few years of being here is that admissions is not a fully predictable science. So you do everything possible and then you try to see what your competitors are doing, and you all can be some of our best promoters. If you know friends who are applying, talk about the things you just talked about in your round robin of introductions and how, especially the community aspect of this place is so good. So thanks for the question.
Yes, Senator Conway.
Do you know of any
plans to expand campus parking?
Campus parking. So I recently attended a conference, and a very wise president who was speaking said that the best line he ever learned was to say, "I'm not the president of parking." So I'm not the president of parking. However, I understand the questions. And your leaders have talked to me about the need for additional parking for commuters, which I understand, and I think that's something we can talk about. But the problem is that if you give more parking to commuters, you probably take parking away from somebody else. So it's a little bit of a checkerboard, and you move one thing and everything has to shift. So no, I don't have a great answer for you for parking. We're trying hard not to take all of our green space, and ramps are too expensive. So those would be some of the reasons why we're trying to get by with what we have. We'll see how things go with Nobel, because that will put some pressure on the south end of campus. But it's really, if you're talking about student parking, you want spaces close to the residence halls, obviously. Or if you're a commuter, you want it close to whichever core of campus that you're in. So keep asking, because it's only through asking that we even look at the question, because it's so daunting to try to figure out who should we disappoint and who should we make happy for parking.
And the good news is that the last time we changed it, it was because Student Senate wanted us
That's
to change
I mean.
Some things.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, we can always change it back to please this particular Senate.
Change it back, I guess. I'm this person, Marian.
So I'm a sophomore, and during room draw last year, some of my friends got kind of low numbers, and it ended up being that on the day that they figured out which dorm they were going to be living in, they didn't actually have a room for them.
No.
Because there was such a shortage of housing on campus. And so I know that Gustavus is trying to maintain this philosophy of being a four-year residential college, because it does contribute to the community that we all love. But how do we balance that with the fact that we just don't have enough rooms?
So that's an unusual situation. I'm glad you brought it up, because I hadn't heard it. But maybe, Jonas, you have some insight.
So what it is that we take the estimate of the incoming first-year class, because we house them before, we guarantee them a room on campus. And then they start at the top, where upperclassmen choose rooms first. So then what happens is that you squeeze the sophomores.
The sophomores.
And it's not that we don't ever think that we're not going to have enough room. So I'm like pretty sure that the message that gets told to those kids is, there is a room for you. It's just going to take a little bit of dominoes falling before that room becomes available. So then once we know what that number is that we're dealing with, then it's a game of cat and mouse that Res Life does actually a fairly decent job of playing with. How many students do we let off campus and still keep our beds full, which financially the college needs for that to happen, and not end up with first-year students who don't have rooms. So every year we have a handful of sophomores, and sometimes it's not only sophomores, sometimes it's juniors and seniors who decide that they don't care enough about housing to sign up for a room, or they want to try to see if there's a way to get out of housing by not signing up for a room. I would bet that there's maybe a handful of seniors who would not want the college to have enough beds for the entire campus to be able to live on campus, because I would bet that there's a handful of seniors who really like living off campus and having permission to do so. And the bigger the freshman class is, the more seniors that get to live off campus. But you're absolutely right in that there is, usually about a 3-week time period where there's a handful of stressed out sophomores who worry that they're not going to have a room.
And Jonas, would there be a way that we could communicate with the very
low priority sophomores that would help prevent the worry factor?
I think we are able to explain it to them, and I think that we're able to tell students on the front end. I would say that maybe not everybody reads all of the materials that come from the
I wonder.
And so I think that they try to do a good job of letting students know, but it's stressful, right? You know, like, housing is one of those things that's really important to everybody. And everybody wants to live in the best housing that they have a chance to live in. So I do appreciate the fact that for, you know, gosh, probably 15, 20 sophomore, tends to be sophomore women, that you know, like, that's a stressful couple of weeks. And I think Res Life tries really hard to assure them that they're going to have rooms. The other option would be to put them in first year housing, which I think is kind of would not be ideal either. And ultimately, you know, like, they would get moved out of there. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Res Life tries to communicate, but I think it's stressful, and because it's stressful, I think that that's the predominant emotional experience. Not people trying to assure you, but rather just the fact that you're legitimately dealing with a stressor.
Yeah, that's fair.
My question was regarding parking, so we're
all so you heard my answer. I'm not the president, but
yeah.
Yeah, so you mentioned, like, Nobel and some of the other big projects we're working on. What are some of, like, the shorter term goals maybe for the rest of this academic
year? So good question. And I know that we're working on a plan to upgrade the common spaces in the residence halls. And so far, Pittman and Norelius co-ed have been done, but I would give that, if we have extra money laying around, that was one of the higher priorities for, at least on my list. You could tell me differently if it's not. Then we're fundraising for the tennis bubble, because the bubble is actually, that almost collapsed last year, and we saved it. So we're hopeful to do the tennis bubble next summer.
Volunteering, thanks.
Are there any long-term plans of bringing back the Mandarin program?
Good question. So interest would probably drive that. So it was low enrollment in the classes that caused us to make that decision. We continue to look at the number of languages that we offer and can afford to offer if they're very low enrollment numbers, because of the investment in faculty that are needed to teach it. So, I think this is true for Mandarin, but I'm not sure. You can satisfy the language requirement by partnering with Mankato to get as far as at least to fulfill the language requirement. You can't major in it anymore. And that is simply because we couldn't afford to keep it as a major when we had such low enrollment. So it would be driven by interest.
Senator Hannah.
I just had a very brief thought that came to mind regarding the previous discussion. And that was, I wonder if it would be possible to have a student talk to those sophomores or be present at room drop for those people that are struggling with that. And the reason that came to mind is because I did have a couple of friends who, you know, while perhaps their emotional fears are not necessarily fully warranted, it's just that stress, like you acknowledged, that's very real and very, very stressful for them. And definitely affects other parts of their lives. And then you have, like, the Res Life higher ups trying to explain it to you and comfort you. I think it feels a little disingenuous to them, like, you know, we got it. But then they're like, I don't understand. And perhaps bringing in a student who's been in a similar situation
understands
the Res Life process could help to put that to ease. It was just a suggestion.
Yeah,
I
thank you.
Good idea. How's the calf? Anybody, nobody's, nobody's upset about the calf these days? Come on.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I didn't mean to jump in line with a question. But.
So, for me, I'm gluten and dairy free and grain free. So
lucky you.
Yeah, so it's like really hard for me to find options, and when like I've approached like people being like, hey, can I like live in a space that has like a kitchen to it and that, but like I don't have a car on campus, so I just think like there needs to be like a grander scale, like diversifying like the options at the CAF rather than it being like the carb that I can use like 5 variations of like potatoes. Yeah.
Okay. That's good feedback.
Senator Crossley, Senator.
So mine was just that like I personally am vegetarian and I have a lot of friends who are both vegetarian and vegan, and kind of like the, when I was looking at Gustavus, they kind of capitalized and then we have the whole like very veggie section of the CAF. But kind of like over the last few months, like I realized that it can be somewhat limited because like half the options every day are like basically rice and then like broccoli and carrots. And there aren't usually a lot of like protein options, especially for vegans in the CAF, there's a lot of dairy protein. And also on the weekends, the very veggie section is just gone. So I think that like, first of all, expanding it so it's also there on the weekends, so there's more protein options and like more just nutritional value for especially like people who have limitations, whether it's by choice or not, would be helpful in the CAF.
Have been housing to punch up.
Yeah, so I was talking to one of my friends that works in the CAF yesterday, and they were like, they knew that in the past the CAF workers were compensated more because like I feel like their job is a lot harder than other work study jobs on campus, and that's the reason why a lot of like the CAF is always in short, like has like a short amount of labor, you know, because nobody wants to work there. And so like they used to, in the past, like they used to give them like a free meal and everything. So like I was wondering why that stopped, and like
I didn't know we did it, so that's news.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask about that.
And like if we could like bring that back, because I feel like from what I've heard, a lot of people like get tired when they're like standing around like working in the CAF for 3 hours straight, and it's like sometimes like they're surrounded by heat, like in the rotisserie and like in other places, and by the grill too. So like I think like if we could have like a better incentive to work there, they wouldn't lose as many workers, and they're always short. So like I think that's like a huge problem that we have on campus.
Thanks. All right.
Smurl. Yeah, so I work in the admissions office, and we are always encouraged to kind of put forward the message that we have a really nice and great CAF with lots of options, and we're ranked really highly with niche, like we're number one in the state and number 13 or 14 in the nation, something like that. The stats change every year. But then the thing that a lot of us were talking about, just like among my peers and also my constituents, is like, I think it's important to make sure that we don't see that number and then retire from continuing to try and improve it, because I think there are definitely, as we can see, like areas where we could see improvement. And then even for someone, I technically have dietary restrictions, but I'm one of those people that just kind of pushes under the rug. But so speaking as someone who doesn't have dietary restrictions, I think it would be really helpful if we kind of, because they do new things like every few, some, I don't know how often the rotation is, but maybe just increased rotation of different things, because I know there are certain nights where I'm like, oh my gosh, there are so many options, I don't know what to pick. And then there are other nights, like today I was like, it's I don't know, like there's nothing that I, like, you know, it just felt like the same staple items, like, okay, I can get a burger, fries, or like Asian food, or rice and chicken. And so, I don't know, maybe just increasing the rotation and variation of items would be, I think, helpful. I yield.
Senator Williamson, sorry.
So I was wondering if there was anything that could be done to increase the hours of some of the like stations in the CAF, because I know, except for the grill and the like pizza pasta, everything closes at 7. I think it is, and I'm a dancer, and so I'm in rehearsals till like 8 o'clock or later, and I know there are lots of other people who have things who go into the evening, and so it's kind of frustrating to come back, you know, every night and only be able to have like a burger or pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Even something like having the salad bar open would be really nice to be able to have like fresh produce.
Okay, I'll pass these along. Great suggestions.
Miss Sarah Hannon.
A previous speaker touched on the point that I was going to make. I feel like the salad bar, I don't know the feasibility of it, but it seems like it would be something that would be relatively simple to keep open, and then I wouldn't be forced to make unhealthy choices.
I agree.
Sarah Sullivan.
I just think that the way the meal plans are structured to be revisited, and I know we've done it like a different way in the past that didn't work, but just like at the end of every month, the people with so much cat food go and buy a bunch of water bottles and like the chip bags, and just they don't need it. And so that's just a lot of waste that ends up in like our garbage, and it's because people don't know how to recycle. And it just, I know we're trying to be a zero waste campus, and so I think that's a really good place to start because we have a lot of food waste already.
Peer Chair Ellen.
So going off of Sheila's point, that's like one thing about the meal plan that really bugs me, and I was wondering like if we could instead like create like a donation program of like feeding like hungry families, so like instead of like wasting money on food you don't need, you can like put it to a good cause. And then my second suggestion was just like a really quick fix of like, could you, so like on the website, like the menu of each day like displays like what it contains, but like it would be really helpful if on all the signs like you had like a sticker saying like this contains dairy, this contains like animal products, just so it's easier to see, because a lot of times like the recipes like will add like flour to things that you wouldn't necessarily assume have it.
To go off a previous speaker about the later food times, last year I worked through student athlete advisory committee to work on that on the basis of athletes are in season and sometimes go later, as she said, to like 8. And after spring break, it was implemented in the CAF that food was available in the Gusty Grill until like 8:30-ish. And I got a lot of student feedback that it was like beneficial, and they said they would continue it this year, but they did not.
Mm.
And so myself and another student worked with, what are their name? The three heads.
Margie.
What?
Margie or
Susan? No, Steve and Steven.
Kevin.
Yeah, we worked with them and came up with like a plausible solution. So I don't know if I need to go back or if you would.
So I'll take this feedback and find out.
So what we like did was move like the extra broccoli and rice they made at the end of the night, instead of like throwing it away, they moved it to the Gusty Grill. So it was still only the Gusty Grill was only open, but all the extra food, and they made a little extra, was just heated up at the Gusty Grill. And then we talked about the salad bar, but that was hard for some reason, but they addressed that they could open the salad bar. So I know there is like Kevin was like, yes, it's doable, and so I think if we address that, it's still a problem.
It's probably a matter of working around some of the shift workers and times, but.
And they were all on board for it, and it worked after spring break last year, so.
Okay. Technology director O'Neill.
The biggest frustration that I've heard, and it's typically among athletes, is kind of inconsistency in how much you get charged. Oftentimes if you like get a little bigger scoop than usual, you'll just get like random miscellaneous charges, which is frustrating, especially when we're already like negative lots of money.
Something to note on one of the previous speakers' comments about the meal plans. You're able, I believe, to move up in meal plans, but you're not able to move down.
You mean like mid-year?
Yeah, mid-year. And that's something that I thought was a little bit interesting and could be changed, because there are so many students that buy just excessive amounts of food at the end of the month that might be helpful. Like, oh, if I could go down, then I wouldn't be charged so much extra and be creating all this waste. So that might be something to consider. Amending. I yield.
I've never seen Jeremy.
Yeah, just to
address the previous speaker. I think you can move down if they applied after the semester is over.
Yeah, I think for the next semester.
Yeah, I think there's also a friend of mine who also has that problem of like trying to use up money at the end of the month. There is a smaller meal plan that is below the first meal plan. I don't remember what it's called, but I think if you ask dining service, you can like go see and ask about that. Because I think she is moving down to like a smaller one than meal plan one. I don't know how much you eat, but.
Well, I should have said I'm not the president of CAF.
I know, yeah.
anything else? Go ahead.
Yeah, mine was a similar thing. So I'm on the lowest plan, and I still have a lot of money left at the end of the month. And I guess I'm kind of wondering if there's a reasoning behind why we just don't get that money back if we're paying for it. We pay a lot of money to go to school here.
So I think the rationale for that is really that the food service is based on the meal plan amounts, and so while you have money left in your account at the end of the month, the cafeteria doesn't have money left in their plan at the end of the month. And so I think it's a matter of trying to fix the type of food and the distribution of food. So yeah, I would say that it's been the college's policies for a long time that we don't give refunds on the meal plan. Although I'll go check and see what they're currently thinking about that. And maybe there's a split the difference kind of way to approach it too.
I was going to see if you maybe wanted to talk about some of the goals we had talked about earlier, that you had had your bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, a lot of our senators were in the focus groups.
Yeah, I'll talk about
and
that.
So you
too.
Can talk about that.
We'll do that. So one of the things I've tried to do since being here is focus on our core values. The bracelet you see me holding up that you can't read says Values in Action. That is to complement the strategic plan, which is called Gustavus ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's intended to be a plan of action. And so I'm a person of action, and that is how I think and how I like to work. So I'm trying to emphasize with people on this campus, particularly our employees, because their actions reflect our values as much as we expect your actions to reflect your values. So how do we, as employees of the college, display and model excellence, community, justice, service, and faith? So that's what the bracelet's about. And if you're interested in wearing one, I think they're on sale for $1 down in the bookmark. And the focus groups, thank you for those of you who participated in the focus groups. The woman who led them, Ann Duffield, talks too much, and I've gotten that feedback. So my apologies that she took too much airtime when she was supposed to be listening. So she's actually a really good researcher, so I'm slightly disappointed to hear that that it didn't go as well as I had hoped. So the one of the purposes of those sessions was to understand student feedback and figure out what's most important to students. In today's environment, we do a senior survey, so none of you have taken it yet. You all did a survey when you came in as first year students. But we wait until you're just about to graduate before we ask you again how things have gone for you. And that is what we're trying to think about, how we can get more regular and useful feedback so that we don't wait until you're just about gone before we ask you how we could make your experience better. So that was sort of the purpose behind it, as to how we might go about getting that feedback and engage in some conversations about that. And that would range from your academic experience to your athletic experience, your other co-curricular experiences, your ability to get internships, your satisfaction in general with the facilities of the college. So it was intended to be pretty broad ranging. I'm open to suggestions on how we might recover from what sounds like was a little bit disappointing conversation. So I apologize if that didn't go quite how it should have, and we'll work to make it better. So yeah, that's what I can share.
Thank you. Does anybody have any other thoughts on that or any final questions?
If we got rid of plastic, would you all be upset or happy?
Happy.
If we got rid of plastic in the cab? Mm-hmm. I just read something somewhere about how many plastic straws end up in the ocean every year. Way bigger number than you'd expect, and how many plastic straws go in the garbage.
Does that include Gusty ware in your head?
Gusty ware, our straws were not.
So only non-compostable plastic?
Non-compostable plastic straws.
Don't we only have compostable?
Paper straws cost 4 times more than plastic straws. That's crazy. We all had the bendable paper ones, at least I did back in my day. But the plastic ones are a half a penny each, and paper ones are 2 cents each. Adds up. Anyway, we'd love to, one of the things we're talking about with zero waste is whether we can get plastic bottles, water bottles, soda bottles, pop bottles out of the cab. And how would people be upset, or would people support that?
I'd be fine if we got rid of straws altogether, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it'd be okay if we just got rid of straws. It would be one small move we could do.
If we are looking at getting rid of straws, how do we feel about all the like single use packaged things? Like I know like the peanut butter and the honey and the jams and all those things are all single use.
Yeah, single use,
well.
Throwaway, and they're not compostable either.
No. Mm-hmm. So right. Are those included in that?
I don't think so. I was mostly talking about drinking straws.
Okay.
But you're right. There's a lot of other single-use things that we could think about. How do you get rid of them without risking contamination of other stuff, especially if it's peanut butter? But yeah, you think about it. Maybe there's a way to get some in different containers that are compostable. Yeah, go ahead.
Other comment is that would you be willing to get rid of like the paper to go bins and just invest in more Gusty ware?
If Gusty ware were returned all the time, we would have plenty of Gusty ware. We buy so much new Gusty ware every year because it doesn't ends up in the trash and doesn't come back to the calf. So don't leave your Gusty ware somewhere else. And get your friends to bring them back to the cab. So, yeah, all the takeaway containers are compostable, but that means they have to get into a compost container. It doesn't help to buy compostables and put them in the trash. Although if it goes in landfill, it will be more environmentally friendly than it would have been if it wasn't compostable. So you do win a little bit, but. Yeah, if you bring your Gusty ware back, that's good.
Yes.
Do it. Okay.
All right.
One more. I'll take one more. Sure.
The only thing I was going to say is our straws are compostable, so they'll be saved us. We're not contributing to those straws in the ocean.
I thought they weren't.
No, they are.
That's awesome.
Yes.
We're selling reusable ones too now, I think.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I thought they were still not compostable. I'm happy. They probably cost 3 cents each.
Yes.
Well,
all right.
So
well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for your good work. You're important leaders for the college, and I take your suggestions seriously. So, especially all that stuff. I really opened up a good conversation about food.
Yeah. Right away, then.
All righty.
We'll
off to your better business.
It's fine.
Thank you both.
Stay warm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll see you all. Okay.
Thank you guys for that. Good discussion, good questions.
And before we move on, I just want to say, the concerns which were brought up for cafeteria, most of those we can just go to talk to Kevin. Mm-hmm. They would be more than happy to fix most of the concerns which were brought up today. So. Don't charge Health and Housing with everything that's brought up today.
All right. And now with that, we'll move to old business. And we have the budget that we tabled to this week on
USA.
Today. And so...
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead. Okay, so we met with Turning Point USA the Thursday before break, so roughly a week and a half ago. And they came with a second budget request. They want to attend their clubs. Turning Point USA is a national kind of charter, so their national convention this year is being held in West Palm Beach, Florida. So they came forward with a budget request to accommodate the line items you're all seeing, the registration fees for two people from the club to attend, the president and treasurer, which are both in attendance to today's meeting, the housing fees, transportation from the airport to the hotel and back, and then flights. And then the only thing that they came forward that finance committee is not recommending is meals. It's our policy by the bylaws to not fund food for such events. So it's finance committee's recommendation to fund the amount of $860. If you have any questions, John, the president, and Alex, the treasurer, are both present.
If you guys want to say anything extra, John or Alex?
Hi, John.
Yeah. No, it's if you just want to know a little bit more, it's just a conference where lots of speakers are coming, and so Alex and I are going to go attend.
All right, I'll open up for questions for the two attending the conference. Alan.
Why couldn't you guys make it last week?
Oh, there was a miscommunication between what time and the location. We believed it was at 8.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you?
That's an airline here.
I just had a question about how the proposed budget, I guess the cost or the quantity, just speaking with professors, I know they get an annual budget that is about the same as the requested, and they're expected to go to different conferences for hiring their skills and abilities, and they have to pay for their own transportation and meals at those. They're just covered the cost of the summit, so that's just, I guess it's different, so I never mind, I yield. Sorry, I just rambled.
Senator Hannon?
I'm just wondering what you see this conference being able to help you bring back to DeSavis. How will this add to your ability to contribute to our community?
Yeah, thank you for your question. I've attended one of these conferences before, and it is an eye-opening with experience with speakers from a variety of professions and pretty much the best at their position. I think one of the best people that's coming this year is Jordan Peterson, who has a PhD in psychology, and he has a bestseller out, and I think his book changed my life when I read it this summer. He cured my depression. It was very, very moving to see that he was also speaking. And so there's many, many different speakers coming and the amount of information that we learn at these conferences is incredible. That would definitely make Alex and I more educated, a lot more passionate about the stuff we learned, and help come back to Gustavus, help lead our chapter a little better, and bring some information to Gustavus.
Thank you for being here.
And did you guys open up the application to other members?
Yes. Okay. Yes. We opened it to everyone. Everyone had the club pays for the entry fee, and so the only thing we're required to pay for is a small registration fee, $25 for housing, and then they cover the rest of it, and then also our plane flights down and meals. And so we opened up to everyone. We said everyone who wants to go apply. We even had a discount code for our registration fee, but we were the only two that could just because of the late finals for a lot of people.
I'm Ms. Kristen Durant.
I'm just wondering if there's a possibility of you maybe trying to organize an event either for your club or for the community at large, sort of sharing what you've gained from this experience so that you can continue to give back to the Bucetus community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll definitely organize something next semester. Definitely. Thank you for that.
WCA Chair Abin?
I guess I'm just going to ask, are either of you two, since you're attending the conference, were you expected to contribute anything yourselves, and did you seek funding elsewhere?
And we were definitely, I mean, this is something that we wanted to go to, and so that was price on ourselves, and we noticed that there was a stipend that we could request for from Student Senate for each organization every year. I think it was around $1,100. And we knew other different organizations would use it to go to other conferences. And so we thought instead of if they could help us out with some plane flights, that'd be, and some other transportation, that'd be very, very helpful.
Senator Hannan?
I believe you had mentioned before that you had attended this conference or a similar conference before.
I attended a conference in high school that was similar to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If it had been this conference, my question was going to be how you funded that, but obviously since that wasn't Agnes Davis, that was probably not a relevant question.
Yeah, it was in Colorado where I'm from, so
okay.
It was a 15-minute drive, so no.
Thank you.
Senator Smell.
Question for the Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. In the past, have there been groups where they have sent to specifically like a couple individuals to a conference that Student Senate has funded?
Yes, in the past. I know we fund at least, I think, one or two of the sororities to send one or two of their persons to their national
mm-hmm.
chapter meetings,
mm-hmm.
similar to this.
And when they go to that, are their intentions similar in that, like, specifically they could host an event when they came back? Or is it just, like, they just go? Or, like, what is the purpose there? Is it the same thing, basically, that we're doing here?
I mean, everyone has like different purposes of why they go to their convention. I know there was a club last year, Moment of Magic. They came in and they just wanted to send their president because if she didn't go to their conference, they wouldn't be accepted as an official club.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that was their reasoning of going. From what I know is that sororities go is because it's required for
mm-hmm.
every chapter's members to attend or something.
Okay.
It's like varies from organization to organization and conference to conference.
So then has there been an instance in which Student Senate has funded specific students to attend a conference in which it was not mandatory for that group to continue?
Yes.
I yield.
Senator Cross,
When we discussed this issue last week, it was brought up that both of you, I'm not sure if this is actually true, you can speak on this, but both of you talked about this conference being an opportunity to network and hopefully talk about people that you could hopefully possibly find internships or other opportunities with. Is this true, and would you be using this possibly for personal gain as well?
I mean, yes, there's lots of people that are involved in the organization that we have, and they do offer internships. So, I mean, that's definitely one of the benefits of going, but it's also learning from other people and learning from other people's experiences, because there's lots of people there that are presidents of Turning Point USA at large campuses, the University of Georgia, University of Mississippi, large campuses. And they definitely, being a new group, we were trying to learn as much so we can have the best chapter that we can. And so networking is definitely a large part of learning, trying to bring back what we've networked.
All right, any other questions for these two before we open up to discussion?
This is the question for the Finance Committee, and that's that this club being somewhat politically like sided or like charged, do we also fund other clubs that like could be considered more like liberally like associated to go on similar conventions and trips?
I mean, we find whoever is a registered student org and comes in and asks us for money and is not a DLC org or a block budget organization.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I know I've talked to people across campus who, I mean, I'm not saying like we can't fund obviously because of the political association, but would just be wanting to know exactly like how we support both kind of sides that would possibly go for support.
I mean, finance, we follow the guidelines. We don't, you know, see if they're morally right in the political stream or if they're going to this conference for their own personal benefit. We just see if the budget is following the rules and they're not doing anything outside of those. We are supposed to say yes to that. But Senate can, of course, say no to the whole thing. It's the final decision is up to the senators.
Any other questions?
Would we be able to amend the proposal to be contingent upon the hosting of a specific event involving the discussions that you participated in at the conference? Is that possible to do?
I think it's possible to do. It would certainly be not in keeping with the historical precedences of this body, and it might be a better idea to adopt something like that at a point in time and then say everyone forward from here needs to do this so that you could apply it consistently rather than what would I think in this moment look like forcing an organization to jump through hoops that no other organizations have been required to jump through.
The reason I asked was simply because there were concerns expressed last week about the purpose of the event, which I think you've now made clear, so thank you. I yield.
Oh, actually, this isn't a question, so.
It's not a question. Okay, all right. So any more questions for the two or the finance directors? Okay, then we'll move into discussion on if you think this should be passed, this budget. On this person.
So I have the.
Oh yeah, you guys. 1 second. Well, we can let these two exit.
Oh yeah. Should the exit?
Yeah. You can stop.
You just.
You're gonna present.
Hello, ombudsperson who reads the Constitution here. So I have here the bylaws regarding Article 6, Finance Guidelines, and in Section 1, Requirements for All Student Organizations, it says that when submitting a budget proposal or mid-year allocation request, a group must provide the following, yada, yada, yada. And it's the short statement outlining the value of the organization, specific goals, other stuff like that. And all of these things that are listed, this group has fulfilled, along with Section 2, Allocation Guidelines, Clause 6 regards Student Senate may allocate money for convention registration fees, ticket and events, travel and lodging expenses up to $1,100 for a given budget year. And I think that the group members have been pretty clear in saying that they are hopeful in leading an event in the coming semester that will reflect the things that they've learned. And on the basis of those three things, so the first set of outlines and then the allocation guidelines and their expressed interest in giving back to the community, I think that we should have no reason as a Senate to withhold funding. I yield.
Senator Hannan.
I will absolutely vote to support this budget. I think I commend them for being present at this meeting and for clearly addressing all of the questions that we've asked them and for their patience with us. It also, as a previous speaker has addressed, it sounds like they have definitely followed all the guidelines that they needed to follow, and I think it would be very inappropriate of us to bring any political opinions into our decision making here today. I yield.
Speaker Schubel.
I would agree with the previous speakers. I don't think this is really that out of the ordinary for what we did last year either. This fall is what we've normally done for other organizations. And I think that based on what they told us tonight, that their reason for going is right, that they want to make their organization better through that networking. I don't think it was as much for like what we thought was more an internship. I think it's more just like meeting other groups and making our like organization we have here better. I yield.
There's Mel.
I would agree with the previous speakers. I think that all of the issues that had been addressed last week before we tabled the decision were better revealed and clarified by the presence of the president and the treasurer. So I would also like to say that I think it's important that we do that just based on the constitution and responsibilities to student organizations, as we have done in the past with other organizations, to do the same for this one. I yield.
Any other discussion? Any other discussion? All right, and with that, we are going to move to a vote. So we will just do all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Any abstentions? And with that, the budget passes.
Carlson, Senator Carlson, do you want to invite? Not invite.
All right. Oh, the budget passed, sorry. But you can, if you want to stay, you're more than welcome. If you want to head out, then you can head out. And our finance directors will be in. They'll
in
talk
touch.
To you. Yeah,
all
we'll
right.
be in touch.
All right.
Thank you
thank
for coming
you
in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to meet
you.
All right.
It's about to say you.
Do we have any other old business? Any old business? All right, with that, we'll move to new business. Does anyone have new business? Senator Boyden?
Yeah, so the Breathe Tobacco Free campaign was tabling outside of the CAF like right before Thanksgiving break. And a few of my constituents did approach me, just discussing with me on the lack of, I guess, of a program to support individuals who do smoke or use tobacco products. So then before this meeting, I did try to do some research as to what the school is providing for the individuals who do use tobacco products, and it was, what I found was very broad and not very accessible, kind of hard to find. So with that, I'd like to charge the Health and Housing Committee to speak with health services and possibly the PAs to either build on the program that's already existing to clarify. Yeah.
Is there a second to the motion? Senator King goes to Senator King. Discussion on this. Senator Boyden, you have the floor.
I agree. I think last year there's obviously a lot of controversy with the tobacco-free initiative, and I think just banning tobacco products from our campus isn't enough, and I think we need to support the individuals who do use tobacco products.
Senator Williamson?
So with your intention moving forward with health services, would you like them to provide free resources? Because I know for a lot of like programs or, you know, any nicotine gum and stuff like that, that costs money. So are you wanting health services to fund that, or are you wanting them to like kind of give them, okay, this is what you have available, this is what we kind of suggest, but you have to pay for it?
Good question. I think from what I know, yeah, like programs that are offered, like not for the savings, are very expensive and inaccessible to some people. So I think that's something I can't personally answer right now. I think that's like what the Health and Housing Committee would have to work out with the PAs or the health services.
Senator Langer.
I'm pretty sure, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but when they were tabling, I read the packet, and health services does offer free cessation programs to the community and to Gustavus students. So it's like not just Gustavus students, they opened it up to the St. Peter community. So I don't know what else
I think it's the community meaning employees of Gustavus,
okay.
Not
okay.
Random.
Well, yeah, okay, so community, the employers
right.
And, or employees and people, but I don't know if, like, you want that advertised more, but when I read it, it was bulleted pointed on it. Yeah, it was the first bullet point, so.
Yeah, I wasn't able to look at the packet at the table, but when there's, like, on the website, it wasn't very clear. So I think health and housing, for sure, could look into just, like, clarifying, possibly, like, making it more known to the Gustavus community.
Senator Smurl.
I think that on the note of the previous speaker, I think it would be really valuable to better advertise those services and then also to involve the PAs. During first year orientation, the PAs address a wide variety of, and you've all been through it, so you've seen the presentations that they do about healthy lifestyles and with certain substances and relationship situations. I think it would be really beneficial to, when speaking with the PAs and health services about this issue, maybe to incorporate something about specifically how that can be incorporated into orientation or, you know, because like I attended this year's first year orientation as a CF and there's a new tobacco ban as of this fall and they didn't say anything about it. And so that was something that I thought was missing and is very valuable and important to add on. So I yield.
Pierre Chayon.
I think just to keep the job of like the health and housing chair simple, I think you should focus right now just on advertising the like the programs available from health services and talk to them about that, and then maybe like in the coming semester, just since we don't have that much time, then work on the, it can be like a later charge to work on incorporating that into the orientation program. I yield.
I was person Grant.
So just spitballing here, but could we maybe come up with maybe sponsoring with like, you know, the Tobacco Free Initiative or Health and House, the Health Services, a Q&A session with Health Services staff, maybe like advertising a sit down so that people could come and if they were looking to find more cessation services, like ask questions of the staff. So sort of like a press thing. I don't know. I yield.
So like the tabling, that's what they were doing. It's like they were literally saying like, we have all these services for you. Here's who you can talk to. And so like maybe people didn't read what they were giving out, but if you would have asked them, like they would have told you. And like maybe, yeah, they need to have it better on the website, but like that was the whole point of their tabling. I yield.
Thank you. Senator Williamson.
I think moving forward with this issue, like there are some small things that could be done like with the website specifically, but the problem I've noticed with the push against the tobacco-free initiative is that people are really willing to talk about how much they don't like it, but nobody is actually seeking out these resources. Because it sounds like they were pretty easy to find, and I stopped by the table and they were like, hey, do you have any questions? Like they were offering this information. They offered a card that talked about the cessation tools that they use, and so I don't know how much that really needs to be done on the school's end or on health and housing services end, because they've already done a lot, and it sounds like people are just, like, they're talking a lot about how they don't like it, but they're not actually doing anything to solve it. I yield.
Any more discussion on the charge? All right, then we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of charging health and housing with this, please say aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
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 Division.
All right.
Can we clarify what the charge was exactly?
Health and housing to communicate with health services, I guess we can narrow down. At least like clarifying what resources are available for students on campus.
Yeah. So we have a division, so we'll move and we'll do a placard vote. So do you want to say?
Yeah, I had a question. How exactly do you want me to like address what they tell me to the student body, like through email or?
I think that's efficient.
All right, All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed, please raise your placards. The nays have it. And not charged, but with that, we will continue on with new business. Does anybody else have any new business? New business? Any more new business? All right, so with that, we'll move to announcements. Announcements? HR.
Before you leave, can you all move your placards towards that corner of the table so it's easier for our administrative director to pick them up now?
All you musician people have been working really hard for CNCC, so please go see it. We had a million hours of rehearsal. Go support all your band required orchestra.
Although I'm pretty sure you paid for it.
Hey guys, we still have a meeting left. Please pay.
I wanted to do that.
Big weekends coming up for the arts and theater and dance department coming up soon. We have Shared Space. It's a dance collaboration show. We have the theater gallery as well on the same weekend. I can't remember. Is it this weekend or next weekend? Next weekend, yeah. So there's the theater gallery, which is a bunch of student-directed and scripted productions, or technically not scripted, but specifically made for those casts, so that's really cool, as well as A Buried Child, which is... supposed to be really amazing, so check those out. You can get your tickets from the campus activity desk.
Is that your school or speaker?
With that last vote, I don't want to like scold you guys, but I think if you're going to oppose a motion, I feel like you should voice why you're opposing it, just to make our conversation more productive, so we don't have another vote where it's like everyone seems to agree and then it's a no.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I yield.
No, I think that's all announcements. Thank you guys for a good meeting with President Bergman, and have a great night.
Have a good week for
you too. You too.
3 hours.
By law, about you.